God's good, amen? Well, I got a good word for you tonight, so I want you to get your Bibles out. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10. I want to preach you happy tonight. Get you over hump day. Proverbs 10, verse 22. It says, the blessings of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. How's that? The blessings of the Lord make one rich. It adds no sorrow with it. Now, most of the time we think about rich, we think about dollars, right? But rich is so much more than dollars. And what I want to preach tonight and share with you tonight is simply this. I say the richest person in the world is the person that has a relationship with God. You know, that is the richest person in the world. The good thing about being rich, the richest person in the world, by knowing God, is there's no limit except if you limit your relationship with God. Are y'all with me? In other words, you can be as rich as you want to be. Everybody say, I want to be rich. Come on, say it like you mean to say, I want to be rich. Well, your wealth is going to be measured by, truly, how much your relationship is with the Lord, how well you know the Lord, how much you want to know how much is in your bank, and you really want to keep an account of that, you want to know how much is there, is when pressure comes, something comes at you, and you're not rattled. Well, you got a lot of wealth. You with me? Right? Proverbs also says that the man that faints in the day of adversity, his faith is small. I mean, you know, it's the truth. And have you noticed that, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I'm the kind that, you know, like some areas, man, I'm unfazed. But then there's going to be something that sucker punches me from a side area I wasn't thinking about and kind of knocks me off my feet. Well, then when I find those places in my life, well, then I want to develop my relationship more there, get more of the word in it, get more of understanding in it, you know, because none of us are, you know, got it all down. And then as you get older, you find other things that you never thought about praying about. How many of y'all have prayed about this last year, something that you never thought about praying about before? Anybody? You know, I've run into a few things this past year that I just never really thought much about. Hello? But as you get older, things just start to change, and life changes, and everything changes, and that's just the cycle of life, where it goes, you know? So anyway, I want to be rich towards God. I want to be rich. I want my relationship to know. And it says the blessing. The blessing of the Lord makes one. The blessing of the Lord. It's like God looking at you and saying, Bruce, you're blessed. Bruce, God's speaking this, and he says, Bruce, I bless you. That blessing and him having a revelation of it, it makes him rich. Are y'all following me? The revelation of it. Now, the sad thing is that that's like saying God blesses somebody, but they never realize that they're blessed, so they never walk in the wealth. They never use the wealth. Right? I mean, you could have $1 million in the bank, and you could live in a cardboard box underneath the bridge, and because you never used it, you never tapped into it. I mean, were you rich? You see what I'm saying? You didn't use what you was given to you. Same thing with the relationship with God. He doesn't put a limit on it. Okay? He didn't put a limit on it. Now, that's like one of the things that I've had to come to understand, and I really still don't understand it totally and completely, but with going on military bases and my son-in-law being in the military and trying to understand the difference between officers and enlisted men. You know, everybody's got the uniform on, everybody's walking around, but there's two different worlds there. And one doesn't traffic in with the other world, but they're all on the base and they're all supposed to be doing it and they're all supposed to be doing a job. Well, I don't know. If I was an officer, I really wouldn't want to make the enlisted man mad that was working on my plane. You may think you're the big shot in the pilot seat, but, you know, he doesn't put that bolt on. Right? So to me, it's like, okay, there shouldn't be too much of a hierarchy around here. Y'all need each other. So why are we doing this? You know, you all have to work together. But it's not like that with God. In other words, with God and his, in your relationship with him, there's no limits. There's not like, well, you can't go into the officers' club. You follow me? It's not like you are here. Oh, you know, you just came from humble beginnings, and so therefore you can't go into the elite club. You can't go into the officers. It's not like that with God. The limit, your revelation is unlimited. Listen, the Bible says that Enoch was a man that he fellowshiped with God, and that he got so close to God he just went on to heaven. Okay, there's the top of the scale as far as I'm concerned. So one day we can't find you. I said, I don't know. He was just in his room. He's having his own prayer meeting. Got kind of wild in there. Next thing I know, there's nobody there anymore. We don't know where he went. You know? I mean, that would be the limit, right? I mean, to me, if you're going to put me somewhere, I mean, Moses didn't do that. I you know, maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but I'm just saying, man, Enoch, he just checked out. He's just like looking at the world saying, I don't know, Lord, I don't really like messing around with this. I'm just going to pray that I go to heaven. Right? So you got to understand that. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care where you started. There's no, the sky is the limit. Everybody say the sky's the limit. You're not, there's no place in heaven. There's no door in heaven. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't go in there. Are y'all with me? There's no, no, listen, I'm sorry, you can't handle this revelation. If I gave you this revelation, it would blow your mind. No, it's not anything like that. God will give you any revelation. Y'all with me? Okay, so him saying the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. It's got, you got to get this revelation of it. It's not that the blessing was manifest. You're not rich when it manifests. You're rich because he said you're blessed. The blessings, the material blessings come afterwards when you walk in the revelation that he said, Scott, you're blessed. When he says, I bless you, and that understanding, that commanded word from Almighty God that says, you're blessed. So if you're blessed, then you can't be cursed. But how many people, we don't have a revelation of that. We don't understand that. We can't walk in it. We keep ourselves down because we think, how could God just give me that? What did I do to deserve it? What did why? How could he just say, you're blessed? And we limit ourselves. We hinder our own walk and our own relationship with God because we're saying, how could this be? All right? Okay, so let's go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, remember Sunday I was talking about that everything that is in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of what's in the New Testament, okay, or what was to come. When Moses was building the tabernacle, the Bible says he was building a copy. He was building after the pattern. He wasn't building the original. He wasn't building the first. It was a pattern. It was everything done, everything taking place, everything going on, everything, all the everything's there. It's already, it was a pattern. It was a type. It was a shadow, okay? And then I went on into Deuteronomy 28 and talked about the blessings of God under the Old Covenant. And in the Old Covenant, he said, you know, you're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the field. You're blessed when you come, you're blessed when you come, you go. This is what I'm putting upon you. This is where I want you to be. This is where I want you to walk. I want your kneading bowls to be blessed. I want your storehouses to be blessed. I want your children to be blessed. I want your flocks to be blessed. I just got through preaching that about flocks being blessed. Looked out my window this morning and had 4 new baby lambs on the ground. Everybody's having twins this year. So I was like, hey, Lord, flock's blessed out there. Look at that, old whitey head too. How about that? Are you with me? I mean, did I do anything up for it? No, just nature taking course, and I got twins everywhere. Okay, point being, when God said you're blessed, and he says this is what I'm going to do for you, we always think we're blessed when we receive it. But we've got to change our mindset. We've got to change our mindset that when every day we get the revelation, we're blessed. Now, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. There's going to be problems. We live in a fallen world. We're in a combat zone. There's going to be things happen. There's going to be issues take place. Things are just going to happen. That's just the way it is. I was driving down the road here yesterday, just zipping along doing my business. Who would have thought there'd have been a DPS officer down there? Had my wife with me, just driving down the road, enjoying life. But I was speeding. Thank you for grace and favor. I just got a warning. Point being, that didn't take away my blessing that I'm blessed. You follow what I'm saying? Things happen. Things just happen. But I'm blessed. I didn't get a ticket. Okay? You're blessed starting out. You're not blessed when you receive some big inheritance. You're not blessed when you got this big deal. No, you're already blessed. You got to get this revelation. You got to get in on the inside of you. You're blessed because of one reason. God said it. Okay? So, here's Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go over here at verse 24. It says, Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Remember, it's not the old covenant. It's a new covenant. To the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Okay. I want y'all to understand something tonight. Blood speaks. The Bible says in when Cain killed Abel that Abel's blood cried out from the ground. All right? It says that there's a covenant of sprinkling that's better, even better than what the blood that spoke from that of Abel. Y'all with me? Speaks better things than that of Abel. All right? So let's go look at this. Go to Exodus 24. Let's look at the shadow. It says Jesus got a better covenant. Hebrews 8 tells us it's all, he's the mediator of a new covenant. It's better. Now, I want to start reading verse 1. Hebrews 24, verse 1. I mean, Exodus 24, verse 1. Now, he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord said we will do. So Moses wrote all these words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning, and he built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and the 12 pillars according to 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent a young man of the children of Israel who offered a burnt offerings and sacrifices, peace offerings of ox to the Lord. Now Moses took half the blood, put it in the basin, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant. He read it in the hearing of the people. They said, all that the Lord said we will do and be obedient. Now Moses took the blood of the and sprinkled it on the people. And he said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made to you according to all these words. Okay, now that's what I was talking about on Sunday also. That Moses took the, you know, the way that they usually did it was they took a hyssop bush or something like that. They dipped it in the blood and they slung it. And it hit on the people, splattered. I would love to do that. The cleaning ladies would be mad at me. Y'all would be mad at me. What ruined my dress? Got blood on me, you know. But back then, you wanted that blood to hit you. Right? If you didn't get a sprinkling, you probably ran over to the other side where they were getting some thrown because you wanted the blood on you. Because Moses came down and he gave the covenant and he said, here's the law. Here's what God says. You're going to love the Lord the God with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your soul. And the people said, we're going to do that. And he said, this is what's going to seal the covenant. He slung blood. Everybody said, amen. It's ours now. We're right with God. Right? Did they ever see God? Never saw him. Just Moses came down out of the mountain, and Moses told them. And they said, Moses read the book of the law to them. They believed it. And the blood hit them. And then they knew they were right with God. Y'all with me? Do you think it was any different with them than it is you that when you read your Bible, the book of the covenant, the book of the law, When you read your Bible, and then by faith, you believe what the words of the Bible say to you, and then by faith, you're believing the blood of Jesus is sprinkled on you, and you walk away from it, and then you begin to doubt, do you think they had the same doubts? I would imagine they did because they were human. Right? But what I want to do to you tonight is I want to take you further and deeper. I want to take you to see something that I want to show you. The prize is yours, but you got to go get it. I can't take you there. I can't take you by the hand and lead you there because you got to go there by faith. You got to walk in it by faith. You got to live it by faith. You know, there's some people that I've noticed in my years of serving the Lord that I don't believe that they believe what they say they believe. They talk a good talk. They talk a good religious talk. They talk a good talk, and they say everything out of their mouth right. But when it comes right down into it, and I look into their lives, and I look to see if they really got joy, and they're really happy, or they really whatever, they really live in it, or they really believe, I question it. And I don't say I'm walking around judging everybody. I'm just saying I think all of us have been across people like that in life that I just don't really think that they really believe what they say they believe. Okay? And what I want you to do tonight is I want you to see this and I want you to grab hold of it by faith, but then you're going to have to walk in it. All right? So look over at verse 9. So it says, and then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. Okay? So there's 74 of them going up there. Pretty good crowd. Going up the mountain, these elders going with them. Not all the other 6 million people, just 74. They're going up the mountain, and they saw the God of Israel. And there under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, as it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But that on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and they drank. All right, you got a picture? Throw that up there. That's a sapphire. In the ancient times, literally the world, the people believed that the heavens. The blue in the heavens was literally a sapphire stone turned upside down. You know, they were looking at a sapphire stone. So they walked up onto this mountain, 74 of them. And they walk up on the mountain, and they get there, and 74 of them, it says they saw the Lord God. They saw him. And when they looked at him, it looked like the sky, sapphire, laying down and him sitting on it over there. That's what they were seeing. Is that kind of a beautiful sapphire blue color? That's the only way they could describe it, what they were saying. Didn't say it was a sapphire. It just says that's what it looked like to them. When they walked up there, it was just this beautiful, blue, gorgeous, unbelievable thing. And there's God. And it says they sat down and had supper or dinner. Or lunch, if you prefer. Where'd they get the food? Did God just bring it? You know, that's not an impossibility because when Jesus met with the disciples, remember they were fishing on the boat and they got over there, Jesus was already sitting there, had already had the fish and the bread cooking on the side, so where'd he get that? So I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. It's kind of like trivia like that. Like who brought the food? Did the angels make it? Was it angel food? Was it angel cake? I don't know. You know, I don't know. It doesn't say. I mean, I can't see. And maybe I'm wrong at this. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Okay? But I just don't see 74 guys packing a lunch going up the side of the hill. If there were some women involved going up there, I could have said yes. But just to be 74 guys, we would all be stupid enough to go on the hiking trip and forget food and water. So I don't know. I question that. You know, I just question it. But anyway, somewhere they had food. Either they brought it or God provided it. But they get up there and they sit down and they eat with Almighty God. And this, my friends, is only a type and a shadow of what God really wants with you. This is only a story under an old covenant thrown around by the blood of an ox. Not a new covenant based on better promises, based upon the blood of Jesus Christ over your life. If these guys got to go up there and sit down on a sapphire and eat with God, can you imagine what He wants to do with you today? Can you imagine the relationship that He wants with you? That He wants to wine and dine you? It's only a shadow. A shadow, folks. It's just a shadow. It's just, it's not even the real building. It's just the shadow of the building. It can't be as good. But yet that seems like that's pretty good and I like it. Are you with me? I read the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. And I say, man, I'll take it. I'll settle for this, Lord. I don't need more. I'll take this. And God says, no, you don't get it. I want to do more. And you're like, I can't fathom more. He says, I don't care you can't fathom more. I've got more to give. You know those 70 elders? This is sad. They didn't make it. You know that Nadab and Abihu got to arguing and offered strange fire up to the Lord and they got smoked and that somebody swept them up in a dustpan. But they saw God. What happened? That didn't change them. Those 70 elders. I don't know. I'm painting with a big brush right now. But one of them could have been the spies that went in and spied out the land and said, oh, it's too many giants. We can't take it. I don't know. Could have been. If those 70 got to go up on the mountain, well, then they could have been chosen to go into the spies and land. I don't know. Doesn't say. Doesn't give us anything. So that's just Robert's hypothesis, which means you can't stand on it. I'm just throwing it out. Preaching. Are y'all with me? All I'm telling you, it's a sad day that these men walked up onto the mountain with God, sat down and ate with Him, but didn't serve Him. It's a sad day. Now, again, here I'm just painting with a big brush. Can't prove any of this. I'm just listen, this is just Robert's hypothesis. I'm just being a preacher preaching, but Caleb could have been in that group. And he did make it because he was of a different spirit. I don't know. Joshua could have been in that group. It doesn't name Joshua's name there, but Joshua was right in the midst of all this stuff going on. He could have been in that group. He made it. All I'm saying is the limit that was put on the people was they did it to themselves. God never did it to them. The limit we put on ourselves is what we do to ourselves, not what God says. No, you can't, you know, this segregated group up here. I'm sorry, you can't come up here. You can't. This is only officers, and you're just enlisted. You follow me? The only ones that did it, they did it to themselves. God says, I want you to come up here and sit on this big old sapphire with me and let's eat. Is that wild? This is wild. All right, come on. Let's sit down and eat. I'm the God of the universe. Yeah, I make worlds. But come on, I want you to come up here and eat with me. Yeah, I know all the stars, all their names. But don't be intimidated. Come on, sit up here and eat with me. I like it that they eat. I like it. We get to heaven. The first thing we have is the marriage supper of the Lamb. I like that supper. We're eating. All I'm saying is that, I mean, that seems pretty country to me. 74 guys up on the side of the hill eating. That seems like, you know, pretty good deal. Now, let me back up for a second. The only reason why they weren't all fried, weren't all smoked, is because of that blood that got thrown on them by an ox. All I'm telling you is if the blood of an ox would get those 74 yahoos up there on the side of the hill and not get killed, what more can the blood of Jesus do for you? Huh? I mean, if that blood of an ox that just eats grass, right, was enough to get those guys in the presence of God, and this is just a type and a shadow, what more could the blood of Jesus do for you? Built on better promises, better covenants, and yet we let the enemy take us into his camp and tell us we're not worthy, we're not any good, we can't make it, we're not going to do it, oh, you've done too much, oh, you've done too much. And what we're doing is we're disrespecting the blood of Jesus. And see, I'm just a naive country boy that's just foolish enough to believe that if he said his blood would cleanse me, then I'm cleansed. And if that blood gave me the right to walk into the throne boldly, into the throne room of grace, and sit down and have supper with my daddy, well then, I'm just foolish enough to believe it's true. I'm just taking the book of the covenant just like they did, reading what it said, and then walking in it. And the only one taking us out is us. The only thing that's taking us out is us listening to the lies of the enemy that remove us from walking in this relationship with God. That's it. Hebrews 12:24, it's a better covenant, built on better promises. Abel's blood screamed and cried out, vengeance, justice. The blood of Jesus cries out over you, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in my sight. That's what his blood cries out. By faith, you walk in it. By faith, you go and sit down at the throne with God. By faith, you sit on a big old sapphire, have supper, talk to your daddy. By faith, you enter into those courts. By faith, in the blood of Jesus, your sins are washed away. By faith, you walk in there. You're not going to see it. You can't, just like before in the blessings, you can't wait till there's some form of manifestation before you go. It's by faith you walk and enter in. I can tell y'all, I've been to the throne. I didn't get thrown out. It'll work for you too. Exodus 24. That's yours. Hebrews 12:24, it's yours. It's a new covenant. I didn't make it up. I'm just preaching it. I didn't say that's what the rules were. Bible says so. All you got to do is by faith walk in and believe it. So then, when you wake up in the morning, you should say out of your mouth, man, I'm blessed. Not because of how your day went, not because everything went right, but simply because God said already, you're blessed. And if you're blessed, you're blessed. And then nobody can curse it. And no matter what comes and no matter what falls, you're going to walk over it, walk through it, walk around it, do whatever God says. He'll move it out of the way later, whatever it takes. But you're blessed. And I want to tell you something. Then as you by faith keep walking in it, you're going to keep finding it get richer and richer and richer and richer and richer. Till finally you're like, man, I can't stand it. Maybe be like Enoch. Just go ahead and go. Show up in heaven. What? Amen? Good news? But you got to walk in it. So you got to do it. I preached it. You got to live it now. Look at the person beside you and say, you got to walk in it. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, Bill, help me. Let's take up our offering. If you need an offering envelope for 2016, put your hand over your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you tonight that we're the richest people on the face of the earth because we know you. Lord, and I just declare that you said an old covenant talk that we'd be blessed in our storehouses and our kneading bowls and our baskets. And Lord, that was just what you want to do in old covenant. I thank you now, Lord, in new covenant under the blood of Jesus that we walk in the blessings of God and you bless our accounts and you do miraculous, crazy things, Lord, and just overwhelming miracles and signs and wonders that happened this year in 2016. As we walk with you and declare the reason why we walk in this riches is because God has blessed us. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Got anything going on, sweetie? Got Kids Ablaze. Dixie, we got Kids Ablaze Sunday. Praise God. Kids Ablaze on Sunday. And don't forget, Brother Ivan and the kids will be in next week. There's only going to be 3 kids come. There were some passport problems and some things that the others didn't get to make it, but we've got 3 kids. We've got Gabby, Suseli, and JJ that'll be here. They'll be here Sunday on the 17th, and then I'm thinking I got to clarify this, and I'll let you know more, but I think we're going to do Sunday morning, Tuesday evening, and Wednesday evening meetings with them. So we're going to do a little extra things. Yeah. So we'll let you know further on that, but just set aside everything on that week so you can be ready. Amen? All right, well, stand to your feet. Look at the person beside you and say, boy, you look like a rich man. So, Lord, I just declare that we're walking out of here by faith blessed. We thank you for it. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that's poured over our lives, Lord, not just sprinkled. Washed away our sins, Lord. So when we walk out here of those doors and we go out back out into the world, I just declare everywhere we go that we are blessings and we bring peace everywhere we go. Lord, we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.